Acts chapter 8. Title the message, Indwelt and Unashamed. Indwelt and Unashamed. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray the Holy Spirit now would minister to each of our hearts from it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. We've looked at several things from this chapter. First of all, in verses 1 and 3, was ignorant men. As they as you consider the Apostle Paul, of course at this time still Saul, he was ignorantly persecuting Christians, and he would have his day in Acts chapter 9 meeting the Lord. But then there was devout men in verse 2. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and these devout men were not afraid for their own lives, which they could have been killed. Then there was faithful men in verses 4 through 8. We looked at the apostles were, or everyone else was scattered abroad except the apostles, verse 1. Verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So how did the apostles get by? How did they get by without being killed, like Stephen was? How did they get by without being persecuted? Why Saul? Well, that's just it. They were persecuted, but by the leaders, by those higher than Saul at this time. Notice in chapter 4, the apostles had already faced persecution. There are some who have gone before us who have already faced the test. For homeschoolers, there are those who have already gone before us in the state of mission. I can remember when a family's children were either threatened with being taken away, custody taken away from them, or their children were actually removed from their homes for a time. So those who have gone before us have faced the highest in this battle for homeschooling. Those who have gone before us have faced the battle for the Word of God. We're going to look at that tonight. Those who have gone before us, many of them have been burned at the stake for the fact of just having the Word of God, translating the Word of God. So, you know, we may face persecution, but nothing like some have faced who have gone before us. So it's not that the apostles were let off free. They had already faced it and still were facing it. But in Acts chapter 4, in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. My friends, it is not... Today is not like in the early church. The early church, when they were persecuted, did they hold off the name Jesus? No. They preached in his name. When they were, today, I mean, it's like when these chaplains are said, well, you can't pray in Jesus. They say, well, okay. That is not what the early church did. They prayed in Jesus. They preached Jesus Christ. Well, what happened? Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. In verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that there were rulers and elders and scribes. So they faced the highest. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel, that by the name of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye what? crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there what? Salvation in any other. But that's not what's being preached today. What are they preaching today? Well, if these people have never heard the name of Christ, as long as they're sincere, they're okay. No, they are not. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other what? Name. There's no other name. No, Allah is not the same as God. Allah doesn't have a son. And yet how many people will say, well, Islam worships the same God we do. It's just a different name. No, it is not just a different name. You look in the Quran, Allah does not have a son. Well, the true and the living God does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, what? Son. The true God has a son. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved. There's no other way to be saved. So you can't take that name away. You can't quit praying in that name. You can't quit preaching in that name. And yet there's missionaries that try to go to Israel and hold back on that name. Well, you might as well stay home. If you're not going to preach that name, Jesus, who are they preaching it to? The Jews? Jews who despise that name. Jews who refuse to admit that Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. If you're going to not speak that name, well, that's not a ministry. That's something else. But there's only one way to be saved. So back in chapter 8, Saul did not go after the apostles. They were still in Jerusalem, as we read in Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except who? The apostles. So you might think, well, how could that be? How could the apostles still be there if there was a great persecution against the church? Well, they had faced the highest. And so when Saul came along, he went after the more little people. He already knew the apostles were under the searchlight of the highest. You know, it'd be, I suppose, like a city police. If they were after someone, if they already knew the FBI was on them, they wouldn't even start. They'd say, well, they're already being searched out by the highest. And so Saul did not bother the apostles because they were already under the spotlight of the highest here. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that we personally have to be ready for persecution. If we were separated from our leaders, we personally have to be ready to stand for the faith, because it may happen. Saul was going after the little people. Maybe I shouldn't use that word, because everyone is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those that we think are more feeble are necessary. There's no such thing as little people in God's eyes, but you understand what I mean. The political leaders were going after the preachers. And so the preachers were separated from their flock. But the flock remained true, as we saw in verse 5, Philip. Now, Philip was a deacon. But he went out preaching the word. He went to Samaria, as we saw last week. So we need to live faithfully. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know what? Each of us, if we are going to live faithfully for the Lord, it's not just the preacher that's going to get it. We're going to get it as well, unless we try to hide our faith. If we stand up and are not ashamed, we are going to face persecution. Every one of us. Every one of us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. What's the first word in verse 11? Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and who? All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Let's read it again, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to face it. I'm going to face it. If we live for God. We was at the doctor's this week, and one of the nurses said, she started talking, and I didn't quite catch what she was talking about, but she says, have you ever been there? Where? That saloon on 14, One Horse Saloon, Crazy Horse Saloon. I says, I don't drink. Oh, she says, well, I don't drink either, but she took her dance class there. I just don't drink, but take a dance class there. Take a dance class to kids, to children. Children to dance before those men drinking their liquor. And then they wonder why there's abuse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People just don't have the fear of God. They think it's all right to dance, and even though she says she doesn't drink, they mingle in that crowd. I just think, what is wrong with these people? We've seen it at the Danish Festival, at some of these parades. They put these little children in these skimpy outfits and have them dance before all these people. What do they expect their minds to be on anyway? They have no wisdom. They have no wisdom. So when we stand up, verse 12, we're going to be persecuted. They're not going to like us. If we were standing down on the corner drinking our liquor and playing rock and roll, they would say, hey, schedule them, you know. But instead, it's get them out of here. They're singing hymns. They're dressed modestly. Get them out of here. It's too convicting. Notice in John 15, will we stand? Will we stand? I was just told recently, I went into a building and the person says, what's your name? And I gave him my first name. He says, what's your last name? I gave him my last name. And he says, my wife knows you. And it was from years ago. We grew up in the same church. And so we were just kind of reminiscing. He was kind of telling me about the family. And the mom to that lady, he said to me, he said, she remarried, and now she's a Lutheran. And he said it with a heavy heart. That lady and her husband raised their children in a Baptist church. He died. And now she married a Lutheran, and she has become a Lutheran. And how sad. How sad. If we don't know what we believe, how do we expect children to grow up and hold to the things they ought to if we're not even doing it? How sad. Notice in John 15, verse 17. John 15, 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world, what? Hate you. Ye know that it, what? Hated me before it hated you. There was a preacher in Grand Rapids, and he took a journey of sorts. And it reported in the Grand Rapids Press that he drank beer while he was on his journey. And he did all sorts of things. And so the paper was interviewing him, asking him about certain of these things. And, you know, it always amazes me when people get on a kick where they're going to be like Jesus. You know what they always think? Well, if Jesus were here, he would sit in the bar with sinners, and he'd drink beer with them. Well, my friends, would you please look at verse 18 again? If the world, what? Hate you, ye know that it, what? Hated me before it hated you. Listen, Jesus was not loved by the beer drinkers of his generation. Jesus was not loved by the immoral people of his generation, except those who were repenting. Those who had a spirit and a heart of repentance came to him. I don't know how many times it's been brought up to me, well, Jesus ate with sinners. Well, if you'll read that passage, he's sitting in Matthew's house. just after Matthew got saved. He had just called Levi from his public occupation. Follow me, Matthew. Matthew invited all of his old sinner friends to come to his house because he had invited Jesus to be there. My friends, the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites looked at Jesus and criticized him for eating with sinners, but he was eating with sinners in a new convert's house. He was not sitting in a bar drinking with the boys. The Bible says in verse 18 that if we live for God, the world is going to hate us. Why? Because it hated Jesus. We just haven't been in our Bibles like we should. This idea of a worldly carnal Jesus, I don't know how many times I've read, yeah, if Jesus were here today, he'd be a rocker. No, he wouldn't be a rocker. You know what he'd do to that mess? He'd do the same thing he did to the temple. When he came to the temple, what was wrong with the temple? It was corrupt. They were buying and selling in God's house. You know what? A lot of churches today don't think anything of buying and selling in their house. I mean, there's bookstores, there's coffee shops. They don't just give away coffee and donuts. They sell them. Many churches sell those things. They sell books. They sell tapes. They sell Bibles. You may say, what can be wrong with selling the Bible? Well, nothing. Just don't do it in God's house. It's not a place to buy and sell. If you read the passage, he not only drove out the people that sold, because a lot of people say, well, he called them thieves. So the thing he didn't like was just that they were robbing people. They were selling the things for too much. No, if you'll read those passages, he not only drove out those who sold, but those who bought. He drove them all out. Make not my house a house of merchandise. So verse 18, the world hated him. The religious crowd hated him. And that's what we're going to face. So if Jesus were to come on the scene today, every church is playing rock and roll in it. He would not sit down and sway and clap to, you know, and dance around to the music. I tell you what he'd do. He'd come up and grab those electric guitars and bust them up, just like he overturned the money changers' tables. He would take those drums and put his fist or his feet through them. Get this trash out of here. That's what he would do. It's not being done today. Oh, if Jesus was here, he'd be a rock and roller. No, he wouldn't be. There'd be no rock and roll in his house. We need to get reading our Bibles and quit listening to these false prophets. They're saying, peace, peace. Listen, verse 18, the world doesn't hate those churches. But what did Jesus say? If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if ye were what? Of the world would do what? Love his own. But because ye are what? Not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hateth you. There's churches that are rejoicing that the crowds are so big. They're rejoicing at the world. That's their goal. They want the world to hear. We want the world to hear too. But you know what? We're not going to break this principle of God. They're ready to go to church because it's just rock and roll. It's just like any other place. That's not what Jesus said it would be. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. That tells you that if we were to turn this church into something like that, we would be worldly. According to this. Verse 19, if you're of the world would love his own. If the world can come into this house and sit and hear the same things they do outside and love to be in church but not repent, then we are worldly. We're not like Jesus. They hated him. Verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than who? His Lord, if they have what? Persecuted me, they will what? Also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. It's not a maybe, it's a surety. So, will we stand? What this morning, what if in the weeks to come they throw me in jail? Will you stand? Will you stand? Young people, what would happen to you if our country was overrun and your parents were taken away, just like Daniel's? We don't know what happened to Daniel's parents. We don't know if they were killed or if they were taken hostage somewhere, but we know that Daniel, we never see Daniel with his parents. They were taken away or killed, one or the other. But did Daniel stand? Yes, he did. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat offered to idols or the king's drink. Would you stand? It could happen. Us parents could be snatched away, taken away. Young people, would you stand? Do you know what you believe? There's a lot of churches today that don't. They're having discussions now in Baptist churches about whether they should use alcoholic wine in the Lord's Supper. Absolutely amazing. There's churches, Baptist churches now, who are teaching their children how to dance. They call it choreography. It's just dancing. What is wrong with us? What is wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. A lot of church leaders right now grew up in the 60s. 60s was an age of rebels, rebellion. It was long-haired guys, hippies, and drugs. We saw the result of drugs in our area. Was that Friday? Friday. Police, state police, ready to raid a house. Helicopter going round and round trying to flush a guy out. Drugs. Today, we have a lot of those, that age, people who are leading churches right now. And you know what? They never grew up. They still got to have their rock music, and now they brought it right into the church. And they dabbled in the dancing, and they don't mind it being brought into church. What is wrong? No repentance. Will we stand? Young people, will you stand? You will be challenged. Someday, someone will offer you a drink. Someday, someone will want you to go someplace where they dance and lust. Will you go? Or will you be like Daniel? If your parents, maybe just growing up and got your own home, and so now you have to make the decisions. What will you do? I've seen many young people grow up and forsake the Lord. They do begin to drink. Some of them begin to smoke. And some of them go to the places where they dance. And they get involved in all kinds of sinful things. And their lives are destroyed. What will you do? In Acts chapter 8 here, they were scattered. They were separate from their leaders. I can remember in the summer of 1976, God had been working in my heart and moving me to prepare for the ministry. And so I applied to a Bible college, and they said actually they had more applications than they could accept. So I just left it with the Lord. But in that meantime, there was a crusade in Grand Rapids. And it was a preacher, Jack Van Impe. And back when he wasn't praising the Pope and the Catholic Church, it was back when he was a fundamental preacher. But I heard him preach in Grand Rapids. And I happened to have a boss where I worked, and he was Christian Reformed. And so he happened to attend the crusades, too. And so we got into a discussion, and he liked some of the things, but he did not believe that Christians are raptured before the tribulation period starts. And so we had a discussion back and forth. And I finally just said, well, Dr. Jack Van Impe says we do get raptured before the tribulation period starts. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, my pastor says we go through the tribulation. We were at a standoff. Now what? You know what my problem was? I didn't know how to prove from the scriptures what I said I believed. Now what? It was just two names. I was throwing out a name. He liked his preaching, but he didn't agree with him in that issue. He agreed more with his preacher. Well, you need to know what you believe from the Bible. Notice in Acts 17. Do you know why salvation is secure? Why it is eternal? If you have been taught that salvation is secure and salvation is eternal, then you've been taught right. But why do you believe it? Just because your pastor says that, or just because your parents say that? It's good that your pastor does say that, and it's good that your parents do say that. But what do you believe? Why do you believe it? You must know from the Bible why. Acts 17:11, these were more what? Noble than those in Thessalonica, and yet they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, how often? Daily, whether those things were so. You know, when I got in Bible school, everything, you know, there are some churches that don't use any instruments, and they think it's sinful to use them. And so I had to search that, okay, does the Bible prove that it's scriptural to use instruments? There are some churches that do not believe it's scriptural to use a song leader. And so I had to search the scriptures. Is it scriptural to have a leader of the song? Asaph. David made many musical instruments. God ordained a trumpet for his people. So it was each thing. And then some people complain because offerings, they don't take up an offering. Some churches just have a box at the back of the church. Other churches may do different. So I had to, okay, is it scriptural really to take up an offering? And some people complained that the church where I went to Bible school, they took up an offering even on Wednesday nights. The church where I grew up never had an offering on Wednesday nights, but the church where I went to Bible school did. And so I had, okay, does the Bible really teach every time the church meets to take up an offering? Or is this just greed, as some people say? Ah, church is greedy. That's why they take up an offering every time. You know, it's like Baptists are accused they can't get together without eating. Well, sometimes they're accused they can't get together without taking up an offering because they're so greedy. And so I searched the scriptures. No, he told them not to appear before the Lord empty. He was referring to bringing a gift to the Lord. Even when you'll read in the Bible, when they came to the seer, to the prophet, that they felt like they needed to bring an offering for the Lord. And so that, with each of these things, I thought, okay, this is the way I was raised, but was it correct? And I was so thankful to find out that in most of those areas, it was correct. I'd been taught the right thing, but you know what? For many of those things, I couldn't prove it from the Bible one way or the other. You know what? We need to be able to do that, each of us. Because the preacher is not always going to be there. He may die. He may be in jail. Or in this case, in Acts 8, the preacher may still be in town, but everyone else is being persecuted. It might be the police are after the preacher, but it might be other troublemakers in the community that are trying to scatter, like Saul, all the Christians. So we need to know what we believe. We need to know. Notice with me in Isaiah 33. Do you know anyone that is unstable? Anyone come to your mind that you would think, well, that person is not stable? What brings stability? What makes a person stable? Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be what? The stability of thy times and strength of what? Salvation. The what? Fear of the Lord is his treasury. Put those things together. We want to be stable. Why is our nation not stable? I was given recently a DVD that deals with many statements that our founding fathers made, and many of them made statements about you can't rightly govern without this book, that if we ever forsake God, if he ceases to be at the forefront of our society, we'll just destruct. That's what's happening today. We're self-destructing. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And if you see someone that is unstable on their feet, well, read on. And strength of salvation. When we become unstable, we're not strong. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians chapter 6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is what? Treasure. You want to know the secrets instead of just being troubled? You want to understand what's going on? Right there it is. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. If you want to have a treasure that few people do in this land anymore, it's the fear of God. So many people today say, well, I don't fear God. I serve a loving God. Well, if you serve the true and the living God, you will fear him. That's our treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. This morning, do you have treasure? Do you have that treasure in your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, who came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. He died, was buried, and rose again victorious. Why? Because his blood was sufficient to pay for all of our sin. And he invites people today to come to him, to turn from their sin to him. It's not bringing all that trash in and say, okay, well, I'll serve you if I can serve all my old life still. No. It's desiring a new life in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. In this day when everyone except the apostles were scattered, they remain strong. The people remain strong, because they knew what they believed. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to not just say we hold to something because that is what is preached or that is what our parents have taught us. I pray that we would learn these truths from your word so that we can not just quote some man, some person, but to quote your word to prove it. That settles it. Lord, please have your way. If there should be any here this morning who are not saved, who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts by faith, I pray today they would come. I pray you'd help us as Christians. Lord, we're living in a day where there's a lot of false prophets saying this is what Jesus would do. Lord, please help us to realize that the world hated Jesus. They didn't love him. They hated him. It was the repentant sinners that loved him, that were willing to turn from their sin to him. Lord, have your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.